It's nice to be with you again on this nice summer day. And Pat and Mary being away on their holidays makes me think about holidays. We're not there right now, but we are here, and we are here together. So when we have holidays, it's like a break from our normal routine. So this is something different too, and hopefully that comes with a sense of refreshing and joy. I was thinking about summer holidays when I was a kid. In our family, two-thirds or more of our holiday time was spent at a Christian camp meeting, a couple different ones. And the purpose was expressly to seek God and spend time in His presence with other believers. So, of course, there was time for normal holiday things like being with your friends or relaxing or nature. But most importantly, you were there to focus on and intentionally connect with God. Now, mostly I didn't realize that until I grew up. But it was a time where you went home spiritually refreshed and renewed in your faith. And God did many works in our hearts in those days. In fact, I had the joy of giving my heart to Jesus as a child when I was at camp meeting. And I feel like I heard you experienced some of that same kind of joy just a few weeks ago when you had your church baptism. I'm sorry I missed that. I didn't hear about it till later. But it's just nice to be together with you today. So thank you. For the past few months, I hear you've been looking at different Psalms and finding God there. Now, it was several years ago that I heard a teaching not about a psalm or a song of David, but a song of David's son, Solomon, the Song of Songs. It's one we don't often open to in our Bibles. It's a song that celebrates the relationship of a man and a woman, a bride and a groom, and Christ and His church. And even in Ephesians, we read how Paul refers to the relationship of a husband and wife as reflecting Christ and the church. So some of the passages from this song have become meaningful to me as I discover the love and the beauty of Christ there and about His intent toward us, that He invites us into life and relationship with Him. So rather than a psalm today, we're going to look at the Song of Songs or Song of Solomon, just a little passage, and focus on our Lord Jesus Christ. If you have your Bibles, you can open to Song of Solomon or Song of Songs. It comes right after Psalms and Proverbs. And if you don't, I think it's going to be on our screen as well, so we can follow along. And while we're getting ready to read, we will have to imagine kind of like we're on a holiday. We are back in the ancient Near Eastern world of shepherds and flocks of sheep and vineyards and gardens and nature. And as I read, imagine the Lord Jesus is speaking to you and to us as a church. It starts with, "My beloved spoke." So I'm going to start in chapter 2, as you see here, and starting at verse 10, "My beloved spoke." That would be Christ speaking. Is He your beloved? Do you feel like you've come to live in God's love in that way? Let's read. Starting at verse 10, going to 15. "My beloved spoke and said to me, 'Arise, my darling, my beautiful one, come with me. See, the winter is past. The rains are over and gone. Flowers appear on the earth. The season of singing has come. The cooing of doves is heard in our land. The fig tree forms its early fruit. The blossoming vines spread their fragrance. Arise, come, my darling, my beautiful one, come with me. My dove in the clefts of the rock, in the hiding places on the mountainside, show me your face. Let me hear your voice, for your voice is sweet and your face is lovely. Catch for us the foxes, the little foxes that ruin the vineyards, our vineyards that are in bloom.'" This is the word of the Lord. Let's just pray a moment. Father, thank you for your word. Help me to speak your words, and by your Holy Spirit, help us to hear what you want us to hear, and help us to respond to you as our beloved. Amen. So in this passage, I notice a number of things. If you want, you can leave that up for people who want to just follow along and check in at different sections, or you can check in on your own Bibles. Briefly, what I see, number one, Christ initiates relationship with us and invites us to go deeper. Two, he treasures us. Three, he calls us into abundant life. And four, he wants to deal with any obstacles to our fruitfulness. So one, relationship. We all start by hearing and responding to Christ's first invitation to come, follow me. We have to make a choice, a step of faith. As Hebrews 11:6 says, anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. And John 1:12, familiar to us, it says, to all who received him, that's Jesus, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. That's relationship. Down through the ages, the saints have said the same. Saint Augustine, maybe you've heard his famous quote, God has made us for himself, and our hearts find no rest until they find their rest in him. Or maybe you've heard of the first point from the Westminster Catechism, which teaches the purpose of humans, which is, maybe you know it, to glorify God and enjoy him forever. That's relationship. Now, in this passage, there is an existing relationship. My darling, my companion, come with me. This would be like Christ inviting a believer, a disciple, a learner, a follower of his, us, into deeper relationship. But whoever you are and wherever you're at with God, I hope you hear Christ inviting you today. Come with me. It's a picture of life together, oneness and shared direction with him leading the way. Now, if we look closer at this invitation, I notice a couple of things. So my beloved spoke and said to me, arise, come with me, come. Three times in this little passage, you'll notice the one who loves us says, come, come with me, come. He starts the ball rolling, inviting us to join him in relationship. And he doesn't just ask once. He continues to invite us to be with him and to go deeper. Not just him with us and helping us, but us with him. And if we're going to come with him, I notice from this passage that we have to start by intentionally arising, getting up from where we are. There's movement, maybe out of winter, like we saw in verse 10 and 13. Maybe from our comfort zone, maybe from areas of sin or deception, maybe from hiding, like we saw in verse 14. You could think of what that might be at this point in your own life. But whether the relationship is new or deepening, we turn our faces and our focus towards Christ, and we leave other things behind, even good things sometimes. It could be turning away from our past, our fears, our shame, or any things that take our attention. For example, how many times have I started to scroll on my phone and I feel the Lord saying, come to me. I've had to make a choice. Or when I felt so much shame that it felt easier to sink in it and hide than to fight. I've had to make the effort to turn my face toward him, lift my voice to him in prayer, and listen for his word. And then, as with any relationship, even habit and familiarity can cause us to grow lax. We've been doing this for a while, maybe a long time. And we can start just going through the motions rather than really connecting. So arise and come. are good, fresh reminders for us today. And then keep coming again and again. Fortunately, whenever I arise from whatever else it is that is taking my time, and I intentionally spend time with Christ, for example, in his word or in prayer, I'm never disappointed. And even while I do still struggle with my flesh that would tempt me otherwise, or even when I pull back in hiding, Christ continues to invite me and us in its relationship. Arise, come with me. Number two, Christ treasures us. Arise, my darling, my beautiful one, my companion I love, my fair one. You can hear all of these endearing names that the lover's invitation is paired with. It's like he reminds her of his love and how he sees her. And I feel like this even would give the strength needed to arise and come with him. Now, how about for God and our relationship with him? Would he do that for us? I think so. In Isaiah 43:4, God says to his people, "You are precious and honored in my sight, and I love you." And the Apostle John reminds us in 1 John 3:1, "See what great love the Father has lavished on us." Do you need a reminder of how God sees you today? How he loves you to give you strength? Can you also believe that similarly God chooses you, loves you, likes you, treasures you, identifies you as his own with loving and tender names? Or that he chooses us as a church to grow together in him? In the Gospel of John, we read that John, Lazarus, Mary, and Martha all described themselves as the one Jesus loves. Can you also describe yourself that way? I'm the one Jesus loves. Can you, as a church, Generations Church, can you say, we are the one, the church family that Jesus loves? Can we say that for ourselves? As I've come to know Christ more, I'm discovering that I can. God treasures us. And then three, Christ calls us into abundant life. I notice in verse 11, the winter is over. Phew, summer was here. Isn't it comforting to have the Lord, the one who loves us, call us to leave behind a winter season, a dark or barren time or cold time? Or like in verse 14, where he lovingly calls us out of our hiding places. Maybe it's a fearful or insecure time or a time of shame. He invites us to come with him into the refreshing of summer, of being known and safe, of growth and life and healing that he himself brings as our creator and our recreator. In 11 to 13, he says, "Come with me, see," and then he paints this picture. It includes all of our senses: seeing, hearing, smelling, feeling, tasting, this picture of hope and life and beauty and fruitfulness and singing. He can make that happen because he is hope and life and light and truth and love and more. We find it all in him, with him. The gift is his presence and his being. Now, just a note, and we sang it in the song Abide With Me. As long as we're on this earth before its redemption, we will go through many winters and dark times, even when we're in relationship with Jesus. But the difference is that we will not be alone. And he is our refuge and our strength. And he has promised us a day when all things will be made new. I like this quote by a missionary, Amy Carmichael. She was from the early 1900s. She experienced many hardships right up to the end of her life. But she writes this: "The most tired of us can remain in Jesus' love. Stay there. Be there. Not go away. There will be a day when the wind beats on us for the last time and every winter comes to an end. Praise God. And so the Lord Jesus says, come on, come with me. Winter's over, summer's here. And to me, summer speaks of abundance. In John 10:10, Jesus said, I have come that they may have life and life to the full, or abundantly. And I like, in verse 8, just before this passage, we read about how her beloved was leaping across the mountains and bounding over hills. I picture that as joy and victory and adventure. Think with me for a moment. Jesus offers that too. Think about stories from his life, and he's still the same today. So remember when he did amazing miracles and took his disciples and empowered them? You do it too. And they did. Think about when they went out in a boat with Jesus and they ended up in a violent storm and he silenced it. It's kind of like they just hopped from one mountain right over to the next one. Kind of like talking about rain earlier, where you go from one violent storm, suddenly you're in sunlight. It's like that leaping across mountains, just leaping over obstacles that are in our way. That's cool. And then remember when Jesus led his disciples up the Mount of Transfiguration. That was a glorious place. And yet he also led them down into Gethsemane and the cross. Christ's own place of suffering and death. And yet, that suffering was going to end in redemption and life for many. What adventure. Remember how Jesus challenged his disciples when the crowd of over 5,000 was hungry? What did he say? You feed them. And how he sent them and us into all the world to make disciples. And he would be with us. But often, that takes a real step of faith to walk with Jesus because we may not know where he's leading or what will happen. But why not? Why not go with him deeper? Why not see where he takes you, even now? Why not be part of his joyful, victorious, abundant life, leaping over mountains and bounding over the hills? And four, he wants to deal with any obstacles to fruitfulness. In verse 15, the lover says, catch for us the foxes, the little foxes that ruin the vineyards. In an online post at imfree.life, I read that in ancient vineyards, foxes were known to sneak in and nibble at the tender grapes and vines. They were small, stealthy, and often went unnoticed until the damage was done. This writer observed that similarly for us, it's not usually something major or catastrophic, but it's small things that can unravel or derail our lives, especially in relationships, and certainly in our relationship with Christ. I quote, sometimes it's the unspoken envy, the unresolved hurt, the just this once compromise, the daily drift away from discipline, the quiet neglect of our time with God. And when these small things go unchecked, they have the power to spoil what God planted. Bible teacher Charles Stanley describes it this way: the change Jesus brings into our lives includes a tremendous challenge to become more than we presently are. Jesus is not a friend who leaves us in our weakness, winks at our sin, or allows us to continue in error. No, he accepts us where we are, but at the same time, he challenges us to move toward wholeness, perfection, and genuine excellence. He challenges us to become all that our Creator designed us to be and to do. He equips us with his presence so we can move from where we are to where he wants us to be. Keep going deeper with him. What does the word say? Hebrews 12:1. We must throw off everything that hinders us and the sin that so easily entangles. John 10:10, we have to watch out for the thief, or Satan, who comes to steal and kill and destroy. And why? In Colossians 1, 22 and 23, we read that God has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight, without blemish, and free from accusation. And Jesus himself said in John 15:8, "This is to my Father's glory, glory that you bear much fruit. I chose you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last." So back to the vineyard imagery, catching the little foxes can be about watching out for and putting an end to anything that will steal God's glory and or hinder the good fruit and growth that God desires for us. And about guarding our relationship with Christ, which is so important and so precious. In the words of the old hymn, we have to take time to be holy. But I encourage us all to do it. Take the time. It's worth it. So friends, we have Christ initiating relationship with us and inviting us deeper. Two, he treasures us. Three, he calls us into abundant life. And four, he wants to deal with any obstacles to fruitfulness. But most importantly, we have to remember how and why this is all possible. And we sang about that this morning. It's because of the cross of Christ, out of God's love for us at infinite cost to himself, even though we are unworthy and undeserving. I'd like us to read together two scriptures that are gospel words, the good news of Jesus our Savior, because really without this, we don't even have the option for relationship. So the first one is 1 Peter 2:24. We can put that one on the screen. I invite you to read it with me. He himself bore our sins in his body on the cross so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed. That's true. You've said it to each other. Let's say it about ourselves. Change the pronouns to I and my and I. Let's try it again. You can read if you can do it. He himself bore my sins in his body on the cross so that I might die to sins and live for righteousness. By his wounds I have been healed. And then the second one, Ephesians 3 to 5, starting with all of us. Let's read it together. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. It is by grace I have been saved. Praise God. And what is the goal? How does this love story end? In our reading of Song of Solomon, we stopped at verse 15. In verse 16, we can see the response to the invitation. It's short, so it's not on the screen for us. She answers, "My beloved is mine, and I am his." She said yes. I said yes. You too. And then there's a finale. Revelation 19:6-7. I think we can put that one on the screen too. Let's read the whole thing. Then I heard what sounded like a great multitude, like the roar of rushing waters, and like loud peals of thunder shouting, "Hallelujah! For our Lord God Almighty reigns. Let us rejoice and be glad and give him glory, for the wedding of the Lamb has come and his bride has made herself ready. The Lamb, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, his bride, us, the church." Today, I encourage you to keep saying yes and keep taking time for growing in your relationship with Christ, so you also will be ready for that great day and beyond. Arise, come with me, my beautiful ones. Come with me.